Now it's time for Half Hour to Health. Sit back, relax.
I sure enough feel good. I feel good. Like I knew that I would.
Good morning and welcome to Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic. And March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, as declared by the Brain Injury Association of America. And we have another show today talking about concussion. Many people don't realize, but traumatic brain injury is the number one cause of disability and death for children and young adults, actually more frequent than AIDS, cancer, and heart disease combined. Many cases of traumatic brain injury are caused by things like car accidents and falls and sports, but there are other causes as well. And to speak with us this morning about her personal experience is my daughter, Brooke. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So this month marks the 4th year anniversary of when you had your concussion.
Yes.
Tell us about what happened.
So I was a freshman in my gym class, and it was a mandatory class, of course, and I went to go pick up a ball during our game of team handball, and a boy went to go kick that same ball and ended up kicking the left side of my face, knocking me right unconscious in the gym floor. And nobody really saw what was going on. The gym teacher didn't really help me out much, and when I finally got to it with the help of another student, I really didn't know where I was. I couldn't find my way to the nurse's office after, you know, being in high school for quite a while. I didn't know where to go or what to do. So I still suffer from lots of symptoms.
So you're saying that you still suffer from symptoms from a concussion you had four years ago.
Yeah, it's called post-concussion syndrome.
Wow. Is that very common?
It actually is a lot more common than people think. Lots of cases, the symptoms will resolve in about seven to two weeks. But mine didn't. They obviously lasted for years.
So what were some of the symptoms that you had immediately after? So let's kind of make the clock roll back 4 years. You got kicked in the head. You didn't really know where you were at. You were a little confused. Mm-hmm. But what were some of the immediate effects that you saw in the weeks right after?
I definitely had a lot of light sensitivity. I was wearing sunglasses all the time just because indoor lights or outdoor lights were way too bright for me. I had constant headaches. I don't remember a time not having a headache in the couple months after, and especially weeks after my concussion. I wasn't bothered by noise, which lots of people are. It's a very common symptom. I had difficulty remembering and paying attention. I had a lot of mood swings. And feeling just sluggish and foggy is another symptom that I suffered from.
Now, did you miss school at all?
I did. I missed 2 solid weeks of school and then started to get back into school. Just wanted to be able to make sure I got all my classes done and was able to, in the following year, come back to school as a sophomore. So making sure that I was getting everything done was a huge motivator for me, even though I wasn't fully healed to return back to school.
So you made it through the rest of that school year. So that mm-hmm. was the end of your freshman year.
Yes.
What do you remember of sophomore year?
I wish I had anything to tell you about sophomore year. I know that I took chemistry and I hated it. And I think that's all I could tell you about my sophomore year.
So you didn't establish any long-term memories?
No.
Your brain was not doing that?
Nope.
And I know that we took a very special trip to France and England.
Yes, right after my concussion.
Mm-hmm, the summer after concussion. Do you remember anything from that trip?
I find pictures to be very helpful because it can put me back into that moment and kind of remember some of the things I was feeling or even just the experience. But there are very, very few moments and little glimpses of pictures that I can remember from it.
So this concussion really affected your life?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what you did to try to get better.
Well, I was obviously under chiropractic care and continue to do that. Of course, any type of concussion or whiplash will cause injury to the neck and spine. So it was really helpful to be able to be under chiropractic care by my mom. And I was sleeping a lot right after my concussion. I made sure that I was not using any technology. I was letting my brain have as much rest as I could give it. So no auditory.
So you were using a method of brain rest to mm-hmm. not stimulate your brain through the visual input.
Yeah.
So by screens, you mean you weren't watching TV, you weren't using your phone.
No reading, no listening to music, nothing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did your friends respond to you?
Being out of school, of course, for 2 weeks and not with your phone or anything definitely left people maybe a little bit curious. But after a while, I think that they didn't understand what I was going through. They couldn't understand my injury in the beginning and everything. But after time went by, I think I was unable to move on from my injury when they thought I would be able to. So I lost pretty much all of my friendships that year.
Wow. Now, how was it difficult to maintain friendships?
My memory wasn't there, so any inside jokes or old memories with old friends weren't really there, or I didn't remember them as well as others did. And then also my personality and my mood changes were so different than what people knew me as before, that they didn't really want to be around me anymore. They just didn't understand what I was going through, so it was hard for me to be with them.
Now, that's going to be stressful as a teenager.
Yes, it was.
Now, you've been talking to schools about your experience, and there's been several kids that have come up to you after your presentations and talked about their experiences and thanked you for what you've been sharing. Can you talk a little bit about how a concussion can affect academics and social life and maybe even make kids more likely for depression or anxiety or other issues like that?
Of course. So academics became, of course, extremely challenging. I was a straight-A student before my concussion, and I struggled to get through the end of that freshman year, and I was hoping to be back to normal by the time my sophomore year started, but that was not the way it went. I continue to have a really hard time in school. Right after my concussion, teachers didn't really understand what I was going through either, so they weren't able to make the best accommodations, or they weren't as sympathetic as I needed them to be. They weren't there to support me and help guide me, although some were. So I was thankful for those that that did realize what I was going through. Social life, I mean, you're not going to football games, you're not going to basketball games, parties, birthday parties, you're not going to anything, and especially not being on my phone as much because, like I said, with the light sensitivity, even though I was getting back on my phone, it was causing me to have more headaches, and I didn't want to be around others just because of all of my symptoms and because I felt very shut away and nobody understood what I was going through. So it has been really beneficial to hear students come up to me after my presentations to talk about how their experiences were or how they've had a friend who suffered a concussion and to know that other people are getting support from their friends and that there's more knowledge out there about concussions now than there was 4 years ago for people to be more sympathetic and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm hoping that as we've been sharing your story, people are listening and realizing that concussions are potentially so much more than just a bell ringer or seeing stars, but they can really affect your life. So our message here is to take concussions seriously. Make sure that you have your baseline testing done before the season starts. If you're an athlete, we'd really encourage everyone to have baseline testing, whether you're an athlete or not, because in Brooke's case, she wasn't an athlete. She was just participating in that mandatory gym class for high school.
Mm-hmm.
So a concussion can happen to anyone at any time. It doesn't need to be sports related. A fall on the ice. You know, we've been
seeing lots of snow recently.
Yeah, I've seen lots of snow recently. Skiing, a car accident. Apparently about 50% of traumatic brain injuries are from motor vehicle accidents. So it is quite common, along with whiplash, that the brain is injured. And a concussion can't be seen, you know, on an x-ray or an MRI or a CAT scan. It is a functional disturbance of the brain. So the best way to be able to diagnose that, other than looking at the symptoms that someone is suffering, is to be able to compare their brain function before the injury. And so that's why a baseline test can be so helpful.
Yes.
We have a great resource in the Belmont area as far as baseline testing goes. Dr. Scott Krichunas of InFocus Eye Care does baseline testing, both the impact test, but also goes above and beyond and looks at eye tracking and some of the other ways to tell if there has been a brain disturbance. And baseline testing doesn't take a real long time. It's really affordable. So I would highly encourage you to check out InFocus Eye Care, Dr. Scott Krichunas. He was with us a couple weeks ago talking about concussions and baseline testing. So you've got some stats there as far as the increased likelihood of depression or bullying or some other social issues that
Yes.
may be caused. Why don't you go ahead and share those?
So according to a Canadian study, adolescents who have suffered a traumatic brain injury had twice the odds of being bullied at school or via the internet. And I can attest to that. I also had to wear sunglasses into school. So into high school, that's pretty hard. And I'm sure everybody can fill in the blanks as to what kind of happened. But, you know, people just didn't understand or didn't take them seriously themselves if they were to suffer a concussion. So they felt like I was just being a wimp or faking it to get help and guidance. It's also a lot more likely that teens with a history of concussions are more than three times as likely to suffer from depression as teens who have never had a concussion. And they're also, therefore, more likely to commit suicide.
Wow.
So there's even more reason why we need to support people that have suffered a concussion.
What is your advice to either a parent or maybe a friend of someone that suffered a concussion? And maybe they haven't even gotten to the point of post-traumatic concussion syndrome. But what would you say to people that are trying to support someone?
It's pretty difficult to put yourself in their shoes, but to let them know that you're there for them is really helpful. I found that when my mom and my family were there for me, and just knowing that I could talk to them as to what I was going through, but that they respected what I was going through as well was really helpful. And if I could go back and, you know, give my friends advice, I would ask them to just support me more, maybe coming by to see me, knowing that I might not be the same, not expecting much from me, but to just be there.
Yeah, great advice. If you're just tuning in, this is Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic, and we're talking with my daughter, Brooke, who has suffered a mild traumatic brain injury 4 years ago this month. It is Brain Injury Awareness Month, according to the Brain Injury Association of America. We've got to take a break, but when we get back, we'll be talking about some of the natural treatment methods that Brooke chose to try to help heal her concussion. So stay tuned. We're here on Half Hour to Health.